Has Jackson Merrill caught Paul Skeens in the National League Rookie of the Year race? Let's break down both races on a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. I'm Lindsey Crosby with Athlon Sports. He's Christian Rao, managing editor of InsideTheCardinals.com. And rookie of the year races are getting down to the wire. They're both pretty much down to two or three players. And I want to talk about the National League first, because this has been Paul Skeens' award to win. At one point, I want to say he was somewhere like minus 2,000 in the odds for this. But got an email from an unnamed sports book. They're not paying us for this. I'm not going to tell you who they are. But and then I saw on another online sports book, Jackson Merrill of the San Diego Padres is now the betting favorite for Rookie of the Year, the National League. So we're going to look at both races, but we're going to start with the National League because that's the more intriguing one, obviously. And so Jackson Merrill is batting .291 with an .813 OPS, 18 homers, 13 stolen bases, was an all-star in his first season. And he's doing all of this while learning center field for the first time. He played just a few games in left in the minors in Double A. I want to say he played five games and 45 innings in left field in Double A last year. They installed him as the starting center fielder on opening day. He's committed only three errors all year. He's learned the position on the fly while also performing, you know, and now he's gotten comfortable, the power started to come in. Is it fine that Jackson Merrill's now the favorite, or is this a slight to Paul Skeens in some way?
I don't think it's a slight. I think Paul Skeens is having a great season, but Jackson Merrill's been doing this since the very beginning of the year, since the Korea series. Jackson Merrill has shined. We didn't get to see that from Paul Skeens. He came up a little later. So I think you could throw some blame on Pittsburgh's front office for not saying that Skeens is going to hold on to this if you really want to. But yeah, Jackson Merrill is having a great season, and I think that he deserves his flowers. And you mentioned it, and I think it deserves credit once again, Lindsey. He is doing this out of position. He has been a shortstop his entire minor league career, moves up to play center field, and he's doing it quite well. Only those three errors, as you mentioned, but it's not like he's just doing routine things in the outfield. He's made some highlight plays just over this past week, highlight plays in center field. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that you're not just using as a Band-Aid out there. He is going to be your everyday center fielder probably for the next decade. This guy has what it takes to do it. He's 21 years old. He's doing a fantastic things for this squad, and he's doing great things with the bat as well. Only 18 home runs, but if you're getting that kind of defensive play from the center fielder as Merrill, and you're still getting 18 home runs, close to a 20 season, I'll take it. And I'll take that .813 OPS all day too.
Yeah. I mean, and you can really see how he got comfortable over the summer. His first 56 games through the end of May, he had three home runs and a .361 slug. And since then, he's hit 15 homers, including five in just 17 August games. His OPS for the month of August, again, 17 games, it's a 1.79. Like he's raking. And it feels like he's gotten more comfortable at the major league level with what they're asking him to do. And like you said, the defensive contributions, he's legitimately been a good defender. It hasn't been one of those, you know, he's not getting the errors because he's not making his way to balls. He's literally been good. And I do think part of the way we do these awards, and I made this point when Michael Harris II beat Spencer Strider for Rookie of the Year in the National League, is maybe we should have pitchers to a different standard than position players, right? Position players get to play every single day. Pitchers, especially in modern baseball, their workloads are being managed so much. They're being, babied almost at the major league level. And like even with Paul Skeens, there's conversations about, did they shut him down to save innings on his arm? And so Jackson Merrill just has the opportunity by playing every single day. And of course, being an 86th percentile defender on StatCast. And base running, he's one of the best base runners in baseball, according to StatCast, 98th percentile in value added via base running. It just makes sense that he would be able to overtake Paul Skeens. And this is the worst case scenario for Pittsburgh, right? Because they don't get the PPI pick for Skeens because he didn't earn a full year of service time naturally. But if he's the runner-up, he will be given a full year of service time when he is the runner-up. So they don't get the PPI pick. They don't get the prestige of having a Rookie of the Year winner, but he still gets the service time. It's the worst case scenario for Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, and they did it to themselves because I truly feel like if he would have started the season off with the club and been qualified for one of those PPIs, he'd be right in contention and probably still running away with it, because we're talking about a guy who still has a 2.30 ERA on, you know, what he's done so far this year. So it's not like we're talking like, oh, Paul Skeens fell off. There's no doubt about that. He is going to be a dominant pitcher in the league moving forward. But you gotta give that. I think right now, Jackson Merrill, I think, has that nod. I really do. I think what we've seen out of Jackson Merrill all season long. And when you're talking of Rookie of the Year, Lindsay, this is the old time kind of stat looking at it, but you're really saying this: who is the most valuable player as a rookie in their respected league? And when it comes to a more valuable standpoint, Paul Skeens has been great while he has been pitching for the club. Don't get me wrong. He was a big part of helping Pittsburgh try to get back up into that wild card race when they were on that stretch. But Jackson Merrill is helping the San Diego Padres every single day, including what he's done over the summer, be not only in playoff contention, but battling the Los Angeles Dodgers potentially for the NL West lead. So I have to right now, I agree with the odds. I have to tip my cap to Jackson Merrill.
Yeah. Do we feel bad for Paul Skeens? I mean, seven starts in AAA, 0.99 ERA, 27 in the third innings, 45 strikeouts. And then in the majors, ERA is a 2.30. He's 7-2 for Pittsburgh in his 16 starts. He's done nothing wrong. And I think that's where this kind of sucks, right? He didn't do anything wrong. They didn't call him up until when they did. And obviously it meant that he has not had enough time to go out and put away Rookie of the Year over a guy, like you pointed out, that is playing every single day for a contender. And I think that's one of the issues. What would Paul Skeens, you think, have to do between now and the end of the season to get back to first place in Rookie of the Year? Does he need a complete game? Does he need a shutout? Like, what would you think he would have to do to be to get back to first place in Rookie of the Year?
Well, I don't think either of those are going to happen. And I don't think it's because of performance issues. I think because we're already having the conversation of Paul Skeens being potentially shut down, I don't see that the Pirates management even allowing him to go for a no hitter or a complete game, even if he is in contention for it. I think that that's when we should feel bad for Paul Skeens if that does come up. But do I feel bad for him? No, I don't, because he's still having a fantastic season. If anything, I think this needs to be another wake-up call, because there's been so many over the past decade for the Pittsburgh Pirates to do the right thing at the beginning of a season. We questioned it. I know we didn't have this pod during it, but we've talked and we've discussed baseball things for a very long time. We discussed why they should have called Paul Skeens up at the beginning of the season. We were confused about why they didn't do it at the beginning of the season, and now it's showing. Now it's showing that it's just not a good idea. So
they're losing all the way around. Jackson Chourio's in third place in this race, plus 4,700. Feels like it's too late. He's been incredibly hot over the last couple weeks, month or so, but it's one of those kind of feels like it's a little too late. Even Merrill, when he wasn't hitting for power early in the year, was still batting close to 280. Chourio obviously struggled quite a bit. So it's a two-man race, and it feels like it's Merrill's to lose. Moving to the American League, it's technically a three-man race, but I think it's just a two-man race. Baltimore Orioles outfielder Colton Cowser is the favorite, around minus 550, over Yankees catcher Austin Wells. And what's funny is the next three guys in this race are all also in the AL East. Willier Abreu of the Red Sox, Sedan Rafaela of the Red Sox, Luis Gil of the Yankees. So it's all five candidates in this are from the AL East. But Colton Cowser first. This one's a little bit weirder to me, right? Like, not that he doesn't deserve it, but none of these guys offensively are having just the dominant year like you see over in the National League race with, you know, with what Jackson Merrill's doing, or even going back to some of the past winners, like what Michael Harris did, batting almost 300 in his rookie year. Cowser right now, 120 games, batting 248 with a 774 OPS. 18 homers, 8 stolen bases. And when you pull up StatCast, a lot of the value there isn't on his offense. Right. It's his base running. It's his defense. He's a 95th percentile defender in all of baseball, not just among outfielders. His range, some of the best in baseball. His arm strength, some of the best in baseball. And so he's a good contributing piece. He's not a cornerstone carrying piece like you, like Adley Rutschman is, like Gunnar Henderson was the past two winners. But it makes sense that Colton Cowser is the favorite for this right now, right?
Yeah, no, I think he is the favorite. And yeah, even though his offense isn't as impressive as, say, some of the rest of these people we're discussing from the other league, when you put him in comparison to Jackson Merrill, who this is the only time we'll compare is right now because he's not going against him for the award, the only thing you can compare is that they do have the same amount of home runs. They're both at 18 home runs, but everything else, you know, 774 OPS is a lot lower than Merrill. But the defense holds and it plays and it's very good. He has one of the best gloves that I have ever seen watching someone out in Camden Yards. And that's even throwing a nod at Adam Jones. I mean, he's doing some really good things out in center field. I think he is a front runner for the, AL Rookie of the Year. I don't know the odds. I'll let you have them in front of us. Once we get an odds maker, I'll make sure I have that as a bookmark, but it's really crazy. You're right. 5 AL East guys. And one of them being the milkman here, but give me Colton Cowser for AL Rookie of the Year right now. And I think if anything, as long as nothing changes, I think he's almost a shoe-in.
Yeah. And Colton Cowser's playing more left field than center this year. It's 64 starts in left, 32 in center. It feels like Cedric Mullins may not have much longer left in Baltimore based on, you know, he kind of slacked off from that one great year he had. But playing left field in Baltimore is kind of like playing center field anyway, with how deep and how tall Baltimore is out there. Yeah. So I think this is a good development for them because they have guys that can profile as center fielders in the farm system, Enrique Bradfield and guys like that. But Colton Cowser being able to do it at a pretty good level, pretty high level, and then being a center fielder in left field that has, you feel like, some decent power potential. I mean, if he's hitting 18 home runs with a month to go at the age of 24, you feel like that's a 30 home run bat potentially in the future. As well, you know, great defense in that. That's pretty nice. The Austin Wells. So kind of looking at Austin Wells, another situation where it's not so much the sheer offensive numbers. And I think that's really interesting. 87 games. 254, 343, 419. So a 762 OPS. He only has 9 home runs. He's got 1 stolen base. So just want to kind of give him that. But it's the same kind of thing here where his defense, 93rd percentile defender on run value in StatCast, one of the best framers in baseball. He is just above average at blocking, 59th percentile, just below average at caught stealing, pop times right there, middle of the road. But he's doing so well behind the plate as far as helping his pitchers get additional strikes, as well as hitting for a catcher, what I feel like is pretty decent, right? He's not, the bar is so low at catcher. I don't know if there's anything Austin Wells can really do to overtake Colton Cowser, short of some sort of massive power barrage, but coming in second place feels kind of right, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely showed his improvement, and I think I think seeing his partner Jose Trevino struggle earlier in the season, I think helped his odds really, because it showed that okay, he's helping this Yankees squad do some big things and get back into contention and help this rotation, especially when there was injuries and things like that, and he's doing it at such a young age. So, the catcher position is tough to look at offensively because there's just so many other metrics that you have to be very good at in order to be a good catcher. And he's showing that he has what it takes to do that. That's something that the Yankees really haven't had in the past. Gary Sanchez was a guy that was up for Rookie of the Year contentions when he was a young guy in the Yankee system, but he was never really known as a defensive catcher. So this is something that the Yankees get a nice chance to be able to do at only, as you mentioned, what, 24 years old. So yeah, I think it's fair to have him as second place. I think that there's some other really impressive Red Sox guys there as well. And then I think some of the odd makers also have Luis Gil up in there for potentially being second or third.
But that's going to fall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to fall because he went to the injured list. Right. So, yeah. Give me Austin Wells for second. But I do think that Colton Cowser is the front runner in this one. I will say this, and it's probably not the best thing to say when we're talking American League, but probably the top four in the National League would probably win this award this year.
It feels like it's an easier case to make for the National League guys, right? Because they have the defense and the offense when it comes to the pitchers, or I'm sorry, when it comes to the position players. And then for Skeens, he's just been so dominant. It feels like it's easier to make the case on the surface numbers than the American League, where you have to go pull defensive stats and base running and all these other things to figure it out. One thing interesting, though, I do find is Baltimore would have three, if Cowser wins, Baltimore would have three consecutive Rookie of the Year winners. I went back and looked this morning. The last time that happened in the American League was the Oakland A's, 1986 through 1988. And I'm willing to bet that you could guess two of them and you probably would never get the third.
Well, I'm guessing McGuire's on the spot.
He had no idea I was doing this, guys. Yeah,
McGuire's in there, right?
McGuire was the middle one, 87. Yes, one before, one after.
Canseco?
Canseco was the one before, 1986. Who was 1988's Rookie of the Year in the American League?
Golly, I have no idea. I don't even know who to guess.
Shortstop Walt Weiss, now a coach for the Atlanta Braves. It's one of these things is not like the other, right? But it's not the most impressive three consecutive stretch of Rookies of the Year, because in the National League, the Dodgers had five consecutive Rookies of the Year, 92 through 96. Listen to this list. Starting at 92, first baseman Eric Karros, catcher Mike Piazza, outfielder Raul Mondesi, starting pitcher Hideo Nomo, and outfielder Todd Hollinsworth. Five consecutive Rookies of the Year. I don't think that record ever gets broken or even met. I don't think anybody... Does Baltimore have two more Rookies of the Year in the system for the next two seasons?
Basalo is pretty good. You got to like what you see from him. But I don't know other
than that.
Is
it maybe
that,
a Kobe Mayo next year and Basayo the year after? Because Jackson Holiday, I think, is going to get enough service time this year where he won't qualify. He won't be an option next year. But right. Is it Kobe Mayo, Samuel Basayo? And could Basayo get it when he's sharing time with Adley Rutschman?
Right. Yeah. Unless they try to play him elsewhere. So I think that'll be tough. Yeah. I don't like the chances of them getting five in a row. But I think that there's a path. You just mentioned that there is a path, but I don't like the odds.
Yeah. This has been another great happy hour edition of First Pitch. The normal show every weekday morning. Usually going up by about 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
So if you're on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review, turn on notifications so you know when that episode drops tomorrow morning. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment, subscribe to the channel. There's a notification bell right there too for you. And until next time, this has been a special happy hour edition of First Pitch.